hermanos Patrofilia.
Here is a box, a musical box, wound up and ready to play. But this box can hide a secret inside. Can you guess what is in it today?
This is Podrophenia with Piley and Mondo.
True, you won't regret it, dear, but I'll make it up.
up to yourself. Don't be angry. Please hear what I say. Well, give me a chance, dear. Tunnel the dry the mirror with love. Tunnel the dry the mirror with love.
And now it's time for Railway Roundup with Fee Jacobs.
Oh, there we go, there we go. Two tunes from the booth, plays from the pulpit as it would be, wouldn't it, Piley?
Absolutely. I remember you playing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time, I think that's the only time I've ever heard that. I've heard you play it at the railway. Yeah.
I must do a hat tip on that. I got that from Jukebox Jimmy.
Oh, really?
My old pal Jukebox Jimmy, yeah, he did me some compilation CDs and stuff he thought I might like. And that one was on there, and I used to take it down the railway. It was one of my regular plays at the railway, Jukebox Jimmy's Greatest Hits.
Sounds like a Sunday afternoon. We've got Sunday afternoon all over it.
That is the Sunday afternoon session, definitely. Yeah, that was one for the post-Martin McNeil. I'll do a dedication on that to poor old Newman, who we lost recently as well.
He
was a regular on the Sundays and sometimes Saturday night, wasn't he, Norman?
Yeah, he was a great old boy, wasn't he?
He was a good old boy, Norman. Yeah, a lot of time for him. And he goes way back. He was a big goer on the sort of all the South End music scenes. Joe the Hat. Used to say when he moved down from Liverpool in the late 60s, Norman was all the venues at the studio and all the stuff. Big music fan. There we go.
He loved to dance, didn't he? And
he loved to dance. His catchphrase was Louie Louie. He always wanted that. He always shouted out for that. I've played it for him once and all the time he's there. So fantastic. We should should we clue everyone in on what we're about? We're doing how would you describe it, Parley, tonight?
I don't know, it's almost like a wake, isn't it, for the sort of a tip of the hat, an RIP
to the railway
as was
yeah, and those glory mad gigs, like great events, crazy live nights, amazing bands, full of characters. Fee and Dave who ran it officially announced it's all over there, they're sort of out now, so who knows what will happen with it. But either way, there were mad times, and it was just a pleasure to be part of that scene as it happened, you know.
13 years, was it?
13 years, was it 13 years? Yeah. And I mean, it's all right, you know, we were great, it was on our doorstep, but it was got so much heat, it was, you know, you had people coming down from London, it was featured in Sunday supplements, wasn't it? You know, so...
It was... It seemed to be legendary on the circuit as well, didn't there? So many people, bands sort of wanted to play there just because they'd heard so much about it.
That's right.
Yeah, it was one of those. I was going to say it's one of them things, you know, a bit like where people say, "Oh, you don't appreciate it till it's gone." I got a feeling we did appreciate it, but it's we knew it was special at the time, didn't we?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a gutter. It's, I suppose, you know, it's inevitable it was going to go at some point. But, COVID sort of finally pushed it.
Killed it off. We're just lucky to be part of it. Like, you always hear these things and you always say, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been part of that.
That's true.
We were just lucky to have gone through that when it happened, you know, sort of from the early days to the close, really, weren't we? So we're doing sort of tunes that we'd have played. If you haven't heard it, do check in with Tom Burgess's special two-parter, which he plays... tracks for regulars at the railway, bands that played at the railway, local bands, all sorts, doesn't he? And he does it as a two-parter. It's an epic,
incredible broadcast, like
and he pretty much captures the essence of all the live bands that played there, most of the live bands certainly, and really captures the essence of what the railway is about. So that's fantastic. But we're doing
4 hours worth, isn't it?
4 hours worth, yeah. But all three of us, one time or another, have been regulars in the behind the bars. It started out and eventually became the pulpit. It was. Doing tunes on different sort of days of the week, weekend, really, didn't we?
Did you ever do the garden?
I was sort of
during the summer. Any of those outdoor ones?
No, I didn't do the garden ones. No,
David,
you could play a completely different set Sunday afternoon at the railway. The garden.
I bet, yeah.
And but again, one of my favourite things from doing one of those was where Dave Blessing was really insistent on, can we use this mixer that he'd got from somewhere. And it was old and vintage, but it just didn't work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So classically, getting my own mix room, I was hiding it. You know, so
yeah.
front face shield was this ancient old round thing, but in the background there was a mixer that actually plugged in and didn't spark when you went near it. Do you know what I mean? But
he's turned to all those cartoon X-rays where someone gets an electrocution.
But that was always part of the pleasure, actually, because, you know, in terms of particularly at the pulpit, it was like, well, you know, the last DJ who was here, how have they left it?
That's right. Yeah. What are you going to go? Why has the person before always rewired the connections?
Yeah.
You have to factor in half an hour just to reroute everything to get it playing again. I remember Mike Smith, the Billy Idol lookalike from around these parts. He's a sound technician. He came in, said, "Oh, I can't have this. I'm going to completely do a great job." And it wired it all, sort of like trunked it all around the side of the booth. Everything was clearly labelled. Came a week later, it all been ripped out. Someone done their own thing with it. So that it's shocking. But it was a great place to play as a DJ, wasn't it? And like you say, there were different vibes. I don't know if I found the Friday night vibe was different from the Saturday night vibe, which is different from the Sunday afternoon vibe.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, different tunes for different crowds. Where would you have played that one, Parley? What was your place for that one have been? With your
I'd say that's probably more a Saturday nighter.
Saturday night one, yeah.
That one. I mean, you could have got away with that with a Sunday. I didn't do many Sundays. I did a couple of Sunday bashes, but I was mostly Fridays and Saturdays.
Fridays and Saturdays, yeah. But, after Podrafini nights as well.
Yeah, of course. What I did, I dug out my DJ box. I went through and just, I mean, I could have, I found about 4 days worth of stuff to play. You know, it's, you got to have that, you know. But what I've done instead, I mean, I won't get through it all, but I picked something from every day. It just sort of show you how eclectic it was to play there and the audience, how receptive people were. I've literally picked something from every decade, from the 30s,
brilliant.
1930s to the 2020s. And I was, every song I'm going to pick something from a different decade. So my grooving with Mr. Blow at the intro there is actually a 1970, so a 70s ticked off.
There you go. That's brilliant stuff. You know what we should shout as well, of course, off the subject of bands that played at the Railway. Our special guests that come up later on.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that.
Oh, that'll be a buzz. We were saying almost 2 years ago to the day, wasn't it? Easter 2017. Big Boss Man played a blow-up takeover of the Railway. Blow-up special, and that was just an insane night.
What a night that was. Yeah, that was an amazing night.
So many musicians from in town checking that gig out and just jaws dropping all around the room. So so we've got a real treat. Trev and Naz from Bolgolian and Big Boss Man are joining us to play tracks off the new album, give us a bit of breakdown on the whole scene. So that'll be a great one, wouldn't it? Looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. That drummer of theirs.
Oh yeah.
I remember just being mesmerised by him. Incredible, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
They're all amazing.
They all are. They're just and it's. They are so animated as a band, and the music isn't enough on its own to get you flying skywards. But when you watch them, they're like cartoon characters, and the music is just so, you know, brilliant to watch.
Absolutely.
Should we have a couple more tunes?
Yeah, let's go. Well, I'm going to play my song from the 1930s now, which is Sing, Sing, Sing.
Oh, I thought he's been in spots for a minute.
No, I never inflicted that on him. Cool, imagine that. They have their limits. I've got such
spots.
Go on.
Ever played Name That Tune? I'll name that money three.
Yeah, they all go dum 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 dum. Every single one for about 25 years.
And then you got the middle bit, darling. If you remember when.
Can I just say, I love that TV music where someone, particularly on doo-wop tracks, you know, where someone will sing the line and deeper voice will say the line underneath. You know,
I wonder if there's an Ink Spots tribute act out there. There must be somewhere, surely.
They were like the Sputnik of their day, weren't they?
I reckon we could do that between these chaps, in all fairness. We could.
They were like that. It's true. It's true. It's the weird thing is, what a couple of tracks that are thought of as garage classics now, aren't they? Have Love Will Travel and Louie Louie both started out as doo-wop tracks. Richard Berry. Yeah. If either the original was by Richard Berry, that's actually doo-wop tracks. Completely different setups. Thank you.
your hair down. If you got on a wig like some people think I got on, this is my own beautiful hair. What to do with the fellas? Take it off. I said, and get down and win.
That is, you know, an absolute stomper. Little Richard, get down, get with it. What a fantastic shout. It's one. Brilliant, he's like the Swiss Army knife. You can't go wrong. You can put him on any occasion. It lights a room, doesn't it?
I used to use that one. Typically, you know, particularly if you was doing the Friday on Saturday, you'd be following a band on. Do you know what I mean?
And so yeah.
It would be one where, you know, sometimes they'd come off about 10 and you'd think, oh, do another half hour. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise,
yeah.
A whole bit. But
that's a long old stint.
You know, I know Dave there is obviously a marathon DJ. You can keep it going for hours, but I used to use...
About 12-hour sets the record.
There you go. That's two. I like your song. I used to use Get Down With It as a kind of, as the track. Well, there's a few of them, but one of them where it will be, right, now I'm going to move it into something else now. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
You know, if you've had playing, you might do a few ska bits or whatever to sort of keep that mood, and then you'd shift it off.
Yeah.
Get down, get with it.
Yeah.
Just be the one, right? Now we're off.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You can tell, can't you? There's a certain... Because there's a sort of game to it, isn't there? If you're DJing around a band, you don't want anything that's going to blow the band away before they come on, so they're playing catch-up. You don't want anything too dull. You've got to keep the energy sort of warm and keep the room warmed up, but then you want to keep that energy going afterwards.
Yeah, but
everyone's buzzed up.
I always tried to be quite sympathetic with that as well. And I used to do a lot of the Frogs gigs through the years. And so they used to do that lovely thing where they would do a 45 minutes set, take a break, and then come back on again. So you had that between the set stuff that was always kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, and move it, and then, you know, as they finished, keep it sympathetic, then you could kind of sort of shift it away. Do you know what I mean?
I used to do with it between the bands, like they took a break, Steve Weston and Martin McNeil, I would always go for reggae. Around then, because everyone loved it, it didn't continue what people had been listening to already. So you weren't beating them over the head with more of the same, and it sort of wasn't attacking enough. So people could still chat. They could have a, you know, go for a comfort break, go to the bar, but it still kept the room vibey. And it was never going to be faster than when the band came back on and turned it up again. So it just let the room breathe a little bit before you went back for round two, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that was the sort of thing. Paddy, you opened with Benny Goodman, Sing, Sing, Sing.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite memories from the Railway. That was a Sunday session.
Yeah.
And I bunged that on. And you know that there's that, like, Debbie and Dennis and all that lot. Yeah. You did all the... And just from nowhere, the whole dance floor just filled up, and they all did their, you know, they all did the sort of dance lessons and yeah. whatever, and they filled it up, and they were absolutely perfect, you know. It was amazing to watch, and then I remember just a massive round of applause at the end of it.
Brilliant, that's what you want.
And everyone was crowding round, you know, as you know, it's a long song, we faded it out a bit early, it's like 8 minutes odd, and the more it went on, people were just like all gathered around the dance floor watching it, and just that's one of my favorite memories. That's
brilliant. That is brilliant. When it all comes into alignment like that, it just makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it is fantastic. Yeah. Like I say, there were so many great characters, you know, the Sunday crowd, like we did, Debbie, Dennis, Joe the Hat. You know, the Saturday night was always like the regulars, wasn't it? And the Fridays used to be a bit sort of come and go crowd, almost like by the end of it, slightly more of a sort
it was a bit,
vibe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so, it could be anything on a Friday, and my reference was a band or not as well, didn't it? Or whether you were just sort of flying solo or not.
I won't play it because we haven't got time for it. But the prize hits I had on the Friday night, it's really weird. I'm playing back to back. One was L.A. Woman by the Doors. Mm-hmm. Used to go mad for it. And then Sweet Emotion by oh God! And when it drops down in the middle to like Mr. Mojo Rise, and it comes back in again,
it
went mad for LA Woman. And the other one, which I'd never expected, I thought I'd take a punt, was Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith. For all the tracks,
I've never played either of those ever.
No, that's generally, but it's true. Well, all the songs we played so far, they're all great and they all fit the brief of DJ at the Railway. But we've none of us have actually ever played the other one. If you know what I mean, they're all you know. Some, I've never played Sing, Sing, Sing. I've never played that Little Richard track, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't think any of us have played anything we played. And I think that was part of the magic of it all, wasn't it?
A sequence which I had a few times, which again worked well on a Friday, was going from Tomorrow Never Knows, you know, which again Beatles' big touchstone for the Railway, of course, going into Dave Pike's set with sort of Mather, you know, so you've got that sitar thing running.
Yeah,
there's a cover of an old 50s novelty song called Jelly Dancers, which is by the Eels, and that's got almost like a Turkish vibe to it. And you put those three together, and someone would come up and say, "What is that one? What is that track?" Do you know what I mean? It was the fact you got the beat, bit of sort of jazz sort of building up for an Eels cover of a 50s bit of Turkish. It was a wonderful place to be able to sort of try stuff out. Do you know what I mean? It was really lovely for that.
That was fantastic. Exactly. Lovely, could. And people would take it as well. They were quite accepting of stuff like that, you know, if you're mixing it up.
You're right. Yeah.
Can I just say,
I'll tell you what, the old
Aerosmith, that would have been, there would have been a few quizzical bar.
but the funny thing was, I expected to get a stick. Would you believe Lance, who I thought would be a real Czech shirt purist, came up and loved it? You know, all that sort of stuff. It's really weird.
Especially on like a Saturday night, and if everyone was up, you could take absolute liberties, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And people would just roll with it, especially that last hour or so.
Oh, yeah, that's
it. It was such good fun.
You could have like your mad half hour at the end of your mad hour or so.
Yeah,
and, like,
just
say,
you know.
Throw a curveball
just
in
how
there.
Much you could push it.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Great. Or if you got a sing-along, that was another one. If you get a sing-along, that was fantastic as well.
Faders
down. Tom Jones, Delilah or something like that. Chaz, I remember DJing after Chaz Hodges had died and put on Ain't No Pleasing You, and you could pull the faders down, the whole place was singing. So you get the odd sort of sing-along. The one on the Sunday I used to do for that was Enjoy Yourself, Prince Buster. We used to close out with Prince Buster, Enjoy Yourself, and that would always like get everyone sing-along. But speaking of like fantastic nights at the Railway, we should get our guest on.
Oh.
Let's have a tune.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
We'll be speaking to Naz and Trev from the Bongolian and Big Boss Man on the other side of this track. there we go. El Beardo, brilliant. What a track. From the new Bongolian album, Harlow Hipshake, getting a lot of heat. And that is, I believe, we'll find out in a minute, the most played track off the album. Possibility it may be a single. We'll find out directly. We'll go to a Bongolian HQ and Big Boss Man HQ. So I imagine it's a setup a bit like the Beatles in Help, but they've got four front doors.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Two down there. Well, my wife lives in the Leslie down there in this box.
Brilliant.
Hammond down here.
Fantastic, what a place. This is it. Brilliant.
Yeah. So I just like the idea of the what was it, the old the banana splits. They had the sort of the fireman's pole, didn't they? Down in from the bedroom down in the front room.
That's a great idea.
Great time saver that.
If you want tea, you have to just go over to the moon and dial the knobs.
Look at this. There's everything. It's like a Graham Garden from the Goodies sort of sap what he's obviously in there.
This is only one room. When you go through to there, it gets even better.
Oh, I can't believe this is amazing. There's just to
feel three drum kits in there.
Three drum kits. The Podrafini listeners, what a treat. If only we were doing this as a video stream or YouTube thing. We are joined by Naz and Trev from Bongolian and Big Boss Man. Is that right?
Yes, that's it.
Just to make sure I've got everything right on there. So, and they are parked up in, it looks like a control room. Imagine like a sort of, what do they call it? There's a parquet floored studio on the other side of that glass there that I can see, you know, Abbey Road style set up on the other side of it.
Yeah, we're in a studio control room. That's the temporary Beat Mountain studio for now.
Oh, okay. It looks fantastic. We have got a Hammond in there. Is the Hammond, what did you say it was, Naz?
It's a Hammond D100.
Here we go, for organ spotters out there. And there's a Moog in the corner.
There's and a Mini speaker. Moog Model D, 1974.
Oh, there we go. That'd be someone ticking that off the box. Yeah,
but somebody will go, is it the one with the C4 two-tip? Or the one the year after?
Are you in the studio recording something, or have you come in specially for the show?
Yeah, I'm just working on some stuff for the new Big Boss Man album.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So, scoop.
What, have you a working title yet, or are we keeping the lid on that one?
Got any working titles that we've refrained
on? No, okay, no. Fine. And how deep are you into it at the moment? How far in are you sort of demoing, or how many tracks would you say?
Knee deep.
Look at that. That's what you work.
There's almost an album's worth of stuff.
Wow. Oh, this is brilliant.
Just a couple of extra guitar parts to go on.
Yeah.
And then it'll be,
Is it, what's the writing like between the two bands? Is it sort of collaborative writing, or is it one main songwriter?
The Bongolian, I'm the only one that writes that one, because that has loads of percussion and cowbells and things that do the other guys' heads in. I've got this new track. It's got 11 cowbells in it.
Brilliant. More cowbell.
There's no room for any guitar.
Nothing that isn't improved by either gaffer tape or a bit of cowbell. So fantastic. So you're working through that. And of course, the last Bongolian album was Harlem Hipshake.
Yes, Harlem Hipshake.
What a pity. Wasn't that, am I right in thinking the cover was up for an award?
Yeah, the cover that I designed is up for an award.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I had some help from Bruce Brand as well.
It's a fantastic piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, I originally did this bit, the original design, just because I used to go to this art class in Wales with these old ladies. So I did a painting. It's up there, actually.
Oh, let's have a look.
But it's like a cut-up. Like a sort of 60s idea, and that was where it came from.
Oh, look at that. There's source material.
So I cut up this picture and then cut loads of arms out with this little scalpel around the hands, and then painted this in acrylics, and that was the original idea for it.
That is brilliant.
Because the really the Latin soul scene, only lasted a couple of years in New York, but it came from Harlem.
Right, okay. That's what's driving the album, isn't it? The sound of it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. This was wanted to be, because the album before this was very Moog-based.
Yeah.
I wanted this one to really have no synthesizers in it, just be kind of more acoustic instruments, but make it, I've always loved Latin soul music.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
And have full horn sections and It all came from Harlem, so that's why it's.
Have you visited? Have you been out there and sort of done the walkthrough? And
yeah, we've been a couple of times. Yeah,
Gigging or just visiting?
Gigging once. We did a Bongolian gig.
Did a couple, didn't we? Yeah. New York and up the road. I can't remember. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. Oh, the Garden State. Yeah, yeah. Is it? How did it go down out there?
Well, it's funny, you know. It's like going back where you influenced by their music and you take it back there. We were sort of playing basically like the music that they gave to us, and everybody there is going, "Wow, what's this new music?" And I'm saying, "Well, it's your music. You gave it to us." You know? But you often find that with that, don't you? Especially with British artists. I mean, it's going to sound a bit different once you put your, You just don't, I'm not a Latin musician, for example, and I play the way I understand it. You know, if you sat me next to Mongo Santa Maria or somebody, you'd go, "Oh, that's not Latin." You know, I believe you have to kind of, be born with it to play it authentically. But Latin soul was a fusion of soul and Latin, so it wasn't it was a sort of hybrid anyway.
Yeah.
And by the time you put your own British slant on it, it does sound a bit different, but.
That's part of the magic, though, isn't it? And he's saying sort of sending it back from a bit like the Beatles did with a lot of stuff, or the Stones did with a lot of the blues stuff as well. It's what it's all about. But I mean, it's something about that. I mean, the Bongolian, the Big Boss Man gigs are always roof raisers. Anyway, I can't think of how many I've been to, but you can't leave the room. The energy levels go through the roof on them.
That's nice thing.
I was only saying to someone, I think it was Stephen I was chatting to you last night. I went to one, it was at Highbury Corner. This must be about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was so intense. I literally couldn't leave. And it meant missing the last train home and having to sleep on the steps of the train station. But it was worth it. I'll do it all again. I wouldn't change a thing. It was fantastic.
I know that till now.
See, so like I say, and the Latin thing and the soul thing, if you DJ or you do a gig and you put some of those tracks on, the room just goes up a couple of degrees and people start completely wigging out.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought when I first heard it. Like, I was sort of 16, I think.
Mm.
And then I met Trev at that when I was 16.
Yeah.
And then he was going to these national mod rallies around the country.
Mm.
And I'd never been before. He was like 19, I was 16. So I thought, he's the sort of, more experienced. And he took me to one of these sort of festivals, the rallies, and then they played this music, came on. It's like, what the hell is that? Everybody's dancing straight away. And literally, like you said, it sounded like Latin, but it had soul and it was danceable. It sounded like it had a big drum kit in it, but it was actually made up of congas and percussive rhythms and not necessarily a big drum kit sound. But it was just,
it's just the energy, isn't it? Just, and all the percussive touches that sort of just lift it a little bit. Yeah. You know, there's something about that that pushes the needles in the red. I mean, recently, I think it's almost 2 years to the day, roughly, give or take, that you played the Railway in Southend.
It's just gone by, isn't it?
It was the Easter weekender.
Yeah,
we had the block.
Great gig.
Oh, wasn't it? When I was saying, I was saying to Stephen, the owner or the manager of it was Dave Dulac, played a few bands himself, and he's one of these multi-instrumentalists.
Yeah.
And you could see him watching, and particularly the drum, the keyboard battle, the bongo and the drum battle that was going on.
Yeah.
He was watching it, and you could see that content smile. He thought, no matter what we've been through, the hotel and the bar and the pub, everything is worth that moment. It was just incredible.
Incredible. I think that's the thing of it. It's like you got everybody sort of plays, they do play it like it's the last gig they're going to do. I mean, that's the, even if you've got, and we have, you've done gig where, there's not many people there.
Yeah.
And we've done, and it has worked out, you've done a gig, there's not many people there, you go for hell for leather, and then the people have come again to the gig after where there's been, 500 people.
Mm.
And if it doesn't matter, if you do every one like it's your last one.
Yeah.
But we didn't know before COVID it was going to be.
No,
absolutely.
That was the last one, was it? Of course. Yeah. I guess it. Yeah.
I think it was January of 2020.
Yeah, February. We're in Cologne, aren't we?
Oh, I see.
Like the last one we did.
Oh, was it? Mm. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, the last gig was in Germany.
And how are you getting the twitches, the gig twitches? Are you sort of missing it?
Well, yeah. After you know, first sort of couple of months, I thought, oh, you know, that's all right. I've got a few weekends at home, you know. We've been gigging since I was like 16 every weekend. Yeah. So it's nice to have a couple of weekends off. Maybe I'll watch a film. You know? And then after about 6 months, I got, bloody hell, we need to get back on the road.
Yeah. And the wife's chasing you out of the broom. Come on, get out.
Yeah. So that we did three with gigs with Big Boss Man in between.
Sort of. COVID safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a laugh, but it was kind of odd.
It's weird. It's like through a filter, isn't it? It's sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was sort of, I think it was a capacity of the venue was like, you know, 150, 200. And then they only allowed like 35, 40 people in, and everybody had to wear a mask during the show.
Oh blimey.
And you weren't allowed to get up, and you couldn't dance. That's right. So they had to down in these seats. So that was bizarre, you know.
Have you got dates booked in, though, now? Are you getting stuff penciled back in the diary?
Next one is Margate.
Oh, okay.
May.
When is it, in May?
Yeah, 29th of May.
Not summer. I mean, literally.
Oh, right, so that's a bank holiday weekender.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, the mod weekender, Untouchables mod weekender.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, no, literally, the minute that Boris sort of did the roadmap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the email did start dinging.
That's brilliant. That's what you want.
You know, there's a list of gigs. There's like.
So what have you got? What's confirmed? Because we get people listening all over the place.
Okay, definitely. Anything... 29th of May is Margate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
19th of June, the Flowing. Flowing Spring. That's what he's saying.
Oh, I thought it says Flower Power. I told everyone we're playing at the Reading Flower Power.
All right, brilliant.
Flowing Spring.
Like the song, Andrew Betting, Flowing Spring.
There we go. Oh, brilliant.
Bloody idiot.
what's that? The Night Owl in Birmingham.
When is that then?
I can't see. Oh, 26th of June.
Oh, okay.
26th of June, Night Owl, Birmingham.
Yeah.
And Saturday, 4th of September, Folkestone at the Bandstand.
That's a fair old bit of travelling, isn't it? You sort of can't put the miles up there.
Yeah, well, there's one in 25th of September in London. I don't know where that is yet.
Yep.
11th in Rochester. 11th of December in Rochester.
Wow. Oh, yeah, here we go.
That's with
Graham Day. Yeah, Prisoners Graham Day.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, of course, yeah, because I've got the Medway scene going on. That's we put the Len Price 3 on a couple of times, didn't we, Parley?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they're great, man, yeah.
Oh, they're really good. Yeah, they're really short set. You know, so if you come in late, you miss half the gig.
Oh, right. How short is it?
About half hour. I think it's when they play South End, it takes them longer to get here and get back than it actually does to do the gig. So it's about 40 minutes. Yeah, there we go. That's it, Piley. There you go.
Yeah.
I found that. I've literally found that today.
Would you believe it? It's about a 40-minute set, top whack, isn't it?
Yeah, short and sweet, but yeah.
And that's about 15 songs as well.
Yeah.
We do like an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half at the very, very most. And I thought that was short, but that's pretty short.
Yeah, that is. You also played in Southend, I think it was the opening of a hotel round here, the Palace Hotel. That must be 4 or 5 years ago. Eddie Pillar was there, DJing.
Oh, that's the Bongolian one. Yeah.
Bongolian one.
The Craig Charles was DJ.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Craig Charles was there as well. Yeah. That was a brilliant night. That was an amazing night as well. Some really deep notes coming out that were sort of vibrating around the room.
Yeah. That was good, actually, wasn't it? Mm. And there was a different kind of crowd as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real mix of people.
More like a sort of Cardassians crowd.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, like a proto-Cardassians crowd. It was Essex.
There was sound checking and people were sort of drifting in with like in these long dresses and these sort of Essexy type clothes, and they were looking at us, and I was thinking, we had the right gig. You know?
Yeah, that will probably be Rhea Curry, who promotes what's her event? I can't remember what the event she puts on, what the name of her event management thing is, but she puts on gigs and she sings with the Get Up. So she was.
Because
she was the organizer.
Yeah, well, she put it on, so I thought,
that's right.
Yeah, we're at the right place. But then I thought they are not going to like this.
No, loved it.
And I did, and then we started playing, and there was like, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Orgos and synthesizers.
Yeah, it's pretty. Well, there's a lot of those are the old Essex Soul sort of crowds who'd have been at the Goldmine and places like that. Yeah. So, they love it.
Brilliant
stuff.
Brilliant.
Should we have a track off the album?
Yeah.
What do you want to pick?
Let's have Harlem Hipshake, the title one.
The title track. Brilliant. All right, excellent stuff. Here we go. Harlem Hipshake. There we go. That was Harlem Hipshake by the Bongolian. Oh, just amazing. I can't recommend this album enough. I was very kindly given it for my birthday last year and played it four or five times on the bounce around the front room. It is a fantastic piece of work. But I love the Latin soul stuff anyway. You know, what made you sort of dig into that sort of pocket for the album, Naz?
Oh, really? It was really being into people like Tito Puente and Mongo Santa Maria.
Yeah.
I mean, those are two of my sort of favourites. I remember going to see Tito Puente in Hammersmith Palais. And he was, you know, he was in his 70s then, and he still, you know, it was a big band on stage, and he was still really, you know, loads of energy in the main focus. And his main thing was timbales, and he was the band leader at the front with the timbales. You know, and you look back on these, and he was an amazing performer. And you look back on his record catalogue, and it just is just, you know, they worked hard. You know, it's hundreds and hundreds of gigs and shows and hundreds of albums.
Yeah, of course.
But just the way that they played was just out of this world, you know.
But yeah, too. Who was the big one there? That brilliant Pucho and the Latin Soul Brothers.
Yeah.
Myself a Good Man. That was a great track.
That is a great track.
Yeah, and who else?
The other one is the big influence was, yeah, Ray Barreto.
I was going to say Ray Barreto, Joe Bertan, does he come into the mix at all?
Yeah. Gypsy Woman, Joe Bertan.
Yeah.
Another classic. Again, I heard all this stuff was introduced to me from the, you know, from the mod scene.
Right. Do you collect it at all? Do you have our copies of the...
I've got collect the old vinyl and got quite a few Tito Puente records and...
And if someone was sort of looking to sort of find a way into that sort of area, obviously they go to Harlem Hip Shake first. That would be your point of entry. Yes. But where would you recommend they sort of backtrack from there?
Well, I think the album to buy, like if you're into ska or if you're into like ska and reggae, or you want to get into it, the album to listen to is Tighten Up Volume 2, right? If you buy that's the album. If you want to know what like proper you know skinhead 60s reggae was about.
Right.
Buy that album. You got it, a great compilation. And there was an album called We Got Latin Soul, Volume 2, not one.
Yeah.
We got Latin Soul, Volume 2. It's got all the classics on it. It's got Joe Bertan, Bobby Valentin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's just Subway Joe.
That's a great track.
Ron Brothers. That's the album to get. We Got Latin Soul.
We Got Latin Soul. So there's the Atlantic label, isn't there? We Got Soul.
Yeah.
And then there's We Got Sue, and then there's, so this is We Got Latin Soul.
This is Fanny, I think, is the
course.
Yeah, is the label. But that is the album. If you want to discover what does Latin Soul mean, if you get that, then you think, okay, this is it. This is what it is.
That's your gateway to the good stuff.
Yeah.
What's wrong with number one?
It's not as good. No, for some reason, it's not as good. I wonder why the reggae one. I don't know why, you know, the Trojan album, I don't know why number two is better. Except again, 3 is rubbish.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, you need to buy volume 2.
Okay.
I wonder if the second Bungalow album is much better than the first.
Trouble is, when you've got a bit of OCD like me, I'd have to buy number one just so I can have number 2.
Well, that's good.
You can't go half measures.
Yeah, do buy that and buy yourself a set of bongos, you know, 50 quid and you're away. Yeah.
That is brilliant. Do you ever like you know on the do you ever look up tips if you want to work out how to play something or do you actually sort of as a musician do you use YouTube as a sort of almost like a tool for sort of learning sometimes?
Yeah, I mean I've always used. I mean before YouTube, you know, So there's the best make of the people that make bongos and congas are called LP percussion, right? Latin percussion. And they did some records, right? So I was thinking, how are you going to find out how to play all this stuff? And they did some records in like the 80s, 70s and 80s called Drum Solos.
Oh, right.
And they had these top Latin players that basically you could buy on vinyl and you just put the record on it and there would be, they said, this is the tumbao pattern. And then this is the martillo, because each one has its own, bongo and a conga has its own rhythm.
Right.
So for a congas, it's tumbao, which is kind of a eighth note, one and two and three and four and pattern.
Okay.
And then I can grab one and show you if you want.
Yeah, go on. Let's have a live masterclass. This is brilliant. Is a meter on? Are we being charged for this? If anyone's at home, I'd get my bongos out as well. So. That isn't a euphemism, by the way. So,
I might get mine out later.
Yeah, treat yourself. It's Bank Holiday weekend.
I got my maracas up here.
Oh, yeah, can join in. This is perfect.
In the laptop. That's the best I can do.
We're amazing. So there's the congas and the bongos.
Go on, let's have a look. Pilot's got some maracas to join in if you want to have a little. If you want to recreate the drum battle.
So when I first started looking at the congas, I had to learn the rhythm called the tumbao, which is a Latin rhythm which has all the strokes in, and here it is. And with the bongos, it was a rhythm called the martillo, which has 8 strokes again.
Is there also any chance, while we were there, with the old Hammond blast as well? Brilliant. Oh, that sound, isn't it? Amazing. And again, where would you recommend if anyone was on to sort of like the Hammond vibe, or that's kicks up, where should they dig in album wise or track wise?
Start with Jimmy McGriff.
Of course.
I'd start with him. You can constantly learn from Jimmy McGriff. I've been listening for 30 years, and I've listened to going for a walk this morning with headphones on, listening to tracks I've heard for 20 years. And I still found something this morning that, oh God, yeah, that he played it like that, that I need to look at that, work on that, you know, all the time. Yeah.
Why is that, do you think? Is it because he's sort of mixing the jazz and the sort of... What is it that makes him...
Well, his is like, his timing is impeccable.
Right.
And also he plays, you know, he's playing bass, he's playing chords, and he's playing the lead. And he's still swinging, you know. And so he's like an orchestra, and that's what—that's something I've been learning to do recently. Because I was always a sort of pipe and a fag in this hand and a solo with that hand, you know. And I did that for 20 years. You know, during the lockdown, I've been learning to play bass at the same time
and with the foot.
With the left hand bass.
Oh, okay.
And chords and melody. You know, I've been working on that. But Jimmy McGriff, he plays, if you listen to the timing of it, he's playing like a soul vocalist. It's something else that I sort of discovered in the last few years. If you try and work out what he's doing timing wise,
on
the organ, you couldn't write it down. You know, it's like listening to Bobby Bland sing. The timing is so beautifully offbeat and
syncopated.
And it's quick, and then it's lazy, but it always sounds perfectly right. You know, it's like every note is right. And there's some songs you can just play, just a couple of notes.
Yeah,
you know, like that. You're just playing that. Just that is like a Jimmy McGriff kind of riff. You know, it's not playing a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but it's now, you know, and I'm not quite there, but rather than, you know, because you can do it, and this is good as well, many notes in as you can.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of swing, so you know, you just. You know, so he doesn't have to play, he just plays just the perfect amount or not the perfect amount.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear, and the more I learn, when I first started listening to him, I couldn't, think about getting anywhere near working out what he's doing. But as I've worked out, you know, things and got slightly better, I can now pick out kind of what he's doing and begin another journey.
Yeah, going down that.
Yeah, you know, it never ends. It's never, you know, it's always, they're always here and you're always there underneath.
Yeah.
But it's the more you find out, the more, okay, I can begin to get there.
Yeah, everyone's always playing catch up in a way, aren't they? You know, that's the sort of thing.
That's the great thing, you know. And then, you know, my sort of, you know, benefit or downfall, whatever, is that I became a jack of all trades, master of none. You know, I started playing drums and then played a bit of bass in the studio, and then played a bit of guitar, and then ended up playing organ, and then got interested in like how the mixing desk works and how the phone works. You know, so ended up
doing that. Yeah,
you end up being able to. The good thing is record your own album.
Yeah,
but you don't become a master of one of them. You know,
but you would never know. I mean, like you say, when you listen to the albums, they just blow your top knot off. If you come to the gigs, everyone's like firing all cylinders. So I mean, like you say, but people on the other side of it, they say that's fantastic. That's a masterclass in instrumentation. You know, especially when you see it live.
But if you've got a good band as well, you know, good people that are. Enthusiastic and you know and every time you know I've been lucky really every time you go to the gig nobody's going oh I don't really feel like playing tonight man. You know everybody's like yeah come on yeah. Let's do it you know
yeah up for it
everyone is you know I mean you know we've been really lucky in how many years how many bad gigs have been like not really.
Many.
Not, you can count them on one hand, you know.
That is brilliant. And it's quite a strong lineup as well, isn't it? It's not like they've had like a lot of movement in the lineup either, really.
No. So, I mean, the Von Golen and Big Boss Man has always been Trev and myself.
Yeah.
So Trev plays bass in Von Golen.
Yep.
And plays guitar in Big Boss Man.
Yep.
And so we started Big Boss Man in like 23 years ago.
I was going to say, yeah, because there were some albums, some of the albums coming out. What was some of the early, really early blow-up releases?
Yeah, well, we had that, we've got some anniversary T-shirts, that's how we know. We had a 21st anniversary.
Oh, brilliant. How fantastic.
Yeah, and there's still loads of these. I didn't know what to buy any.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Brilliant. And they'll be flying out. You won't see, you know, that'd be brilliant. Shall we have another track off the album? You good for that?
Yeah.
John, what do you want to go for?
Let's have East Side Rumble.
Side Rumble, there we go. That's then just absolute masterclass. Did you take anything from like West Side Story? Did that come in a little bit as well?
No, I didn't. That was Paul's idea, I think. That one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I'll give him that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. How long have you been with the label now?
23
years.
Longer than pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, it's the first album.
Yeah, exactly. And so were you there right in the days of sort of like the Laurel Tree, or were you sort of more like the Wag days?
Yeah, we used to go there, but I think the first gigs we did were at the Wag Club, yeah.
Right, okay. Because I think I saw you at Metro as well, and it was Baltic Fleet's first Baltic Fleet's first live gig.
Well, because we used to go to Camden and go to the Laurel Tree and blow up first what?
Right. Okay. What did you?
It's like breaking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's some old pictures online, and there's us at the bar. I think, and like you know, and when it was in the early 90s, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was when we first went there, and then sort of thought, oh, what's, you know, it's pretty interesting. Somebody playing, what's this Hammond guy? It's a library music thing. Oh, what's that? You know.
Yeah.
And that was great. That was one of the great things that they did. He was one of the first people to play, make that library music really.
Stuff like that, cool, you know.
And I think that was one of the best things they did, really.
Oh, exactly, like blow up dance floor classics and the blow up albums.
Doesn't get mentioned enough because Paul really championed that.
Yeah,
you know, and it needs to get mentioned more. Really, those exclusive Bend records that he did afterwards.
Yeah, you're right. And the library, say it was way before Johnny Trunk, and whether Johnny Trunk was probably doing it, but the fact he was putting them out there and cataloguing them. Yeah, and getting it together.
You heard that stuff, and it was like, oh yeah, brilliant. And then it moved to the Wag Club. We didn't play it though. It moved to the Wag Club, and then we were playing there a lot, wouldn't we? It seemed like once a month. But like, it was like a residency almost at the blow up night there, and that was incredible. Two or three floors of, you know, it was packed every weekend.
Oh, it's brilliant. I went a couple of times, but we just had, we'd had our youngest by that time, so it was tricky to get out, but we did manage to make a couple of visits. You went, Piley, didn't you?
Yeah, I went a few times, yeah. And there was that one when just everyone seemed to turn up. Might have even been a Boss Man night, actually. Remember, everyone seemed to get babysitters and everything, and it was like, about 30 of us. I think it was a Boss Man night.
Mm. We used to get sort of quite theatrical with a sort of mad friend of ours called Mad Jeff, funny enough. He used to sort of dress up in he used to say, can I come on stage? And go, yeah, all right then, but you've got to dress up or something.
So the other thing that happened was Paul Tumpkin released Blow Up a Go-Go, like the library track by James Clark. And James Clark was booked to come and do the gig at the Wag Club when we were the backing band. But then he pulled out at the last minute. So what can we do? So we said, maybe Mad Jeff, if you dress up with this spaceman's costume, you be Clarky.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's right, because that was used in the Gap advert, wasn't it? Do you remember?
That's right, yeah.
So there's like, everyone thought it was James, because no one had seen James Clark and knew what James Clark looked like. So then he was like, Jeff came on stage, he was like, your dad's rather too much to drink, I think. And he's in this space helmet that was all steamed up, and he was sort of wobbling around in front of me like this. And I said, why are you doing that? And he went, I'm trying to appear weightlessness.
Brilliant. Are you taking him back out of the road on the new dates? Is he coming with you?
Absolutely not.
He'd be like the beds of the band, that sort of thing.
That's another time to tell that story.
That's brilliant. That is fantastic. So
I see there's a book, isn't there? Paul was telling me about it the other day, and I see he put a picture up of it on one of the socials the last day or two, all the lost London venues.
Oh.
And it looks like a really good book. I know it's got Laurel Tree, I think it's got Metro and the Wag in there as well.
It's brilliant. No, I mean, such fondness for the Wag days, really was really, really great. I mean, remember we had a hammer, it was the size of that, but it was chopped. And we used to have a friend of ours, Greg, came and played organ once. Greg Borerman.
Yeah.
And somehow we got that up the Wag spiral staircase.
No way. Up the spiral staircase.
How did you do it? What did you have it? I mean, that is a Laurel Hardy sketch, isn't it?
Yeah. Six big.
Did you do it key by key?
Yeah.
Flat pack. I disassemble them. Yeah. I lost the Allen key.
And then one time, our guy used to jump on stage. He said, I'll buy some maracas and I'll get a big box of maracas and then I'll give them out to the crowd.
Brilliant.
He had this kind of quite sort of monotone voice. And then, so he bought this big box of plastic maracas. There was like about 50 maracas in there. So we started playing and Jeff comes on stage and he's and he's got these maracas, and he's supposed to hand them out to the audience so they can all play maracas. And he, and he's and again, he's had a bit too much to drink, and he starts throwing them at the audience. Oh. Like, ow! Like, smack! Ah! Everyone's going, stop! Stop throwing maracas at us!
Brilliant. I didn't throw them back.
No, Rack Attack.
What a great name for an album, Rack Attack. There we go.
That's the next album sorted. Yeah, so
the next one I want to dress as a bunny. And then we said, you've got to stop this now.
That's it. Do you see him? Is he still in touch, or is he sort of just...
Yeah, he's a good friend of ours, yeah.
Right, right, okay. Is he still just as nutty, or has he mellowed out a little bit?
No, I don't think he's just as mad.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, a bit. But we dedicated a track to him on the last Big Boss Man album called Slady.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right, got it. Yeah, of course. Oh, right, that all makes sense now. That is brilliant. Fantastic. Shall we go to one more track? You're right for time?
Yes, fine, yeah. We have Soul Drums.
Let's do that, Soul Drums. So that's Soul Drums off the Harlem Hip Shake by Bongolian on Blow Up Records, out now. A clear vinyl, I think, as well as a clear vinyl dish. You might be able to bag one of those if you're lucky.
There is a clear vinyl, yeah. It's actually, it says it right there.
There we go. Look at that.
Can't see it at home.
Beautiful.
That's it. Tricky to queue up if you're playing it. So,
yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, that's right. But it's a fantastic piece of work. And again, we're like, you know, back to Paul. Paul's got such good ears for the sound and those little details. Bringing bits out, so
that's it. I think if you go, you know, you go around his house and see his record collection, you know, and you realise why he's such a great DJ.
Oh God, yeah. He always has been. We used to see him when he was back in the old days at Crocs in Rayleigh.
Oh yeah, because was that where he started?
That's where he started at Tipping Toothbrush, and like me and Ian, Stephen used to go there as well, I think. But Paul, I was at college with Paul, so we go sort of way back to sort of his art school days, but. But yeah, he was like stuff like the Alan Hawkshaw stuff he was bringing out. Some of that, I mean, Alan Hawkshaw's a mad player. I love him.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, in the mainstream, you know, no one that has got a clue who Alan Altshuler is.
No, there's a brilliant wig out. I think we played it one of the early ones, Parley, where he does In the Heat of the Morning with Bowie at the BBC.
That's right, yeah, we played that a couple of shows ago.
Yeah, and he does this brilliant sort of, I don't know what the timing is, you'd have to hear it as and work out what he's doing. But he's almost like double timing things. It's almost, it's hard to explain. I'll have to buzz your link for it. But that, and who's the other one? Who's the guy out of Santana? He looks like Elvis. When you see Santana at Woodstock.
Yeah, I don't know what it's...
I think you'll find it was actually Elvis.
Oh, was it? Yeah, it probably was Elvis, yeah. Yeah, he couldn't be left out of Woodstock, could he? So,
yeah, yeah. But he's so... And he's still playing, I think. I can't remember what his name is now.
The keyboard player?
Yeah.
We'll look it up. We'll get it out. But yeah, he was a great player. Are you dabbling with the Santana stuff at all?
Yeah, we used to do, for Bongolian, we used to do a cover, didn't we, of Live,
Soul Sacrifice.
Oh, that's the kiddie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I can even remember how to play it now.
Oh, that's such a great track. That's like the bit in Woodstock, almost the centrepiece, isn't it? Where...
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, again, but his playing style in that is different. It's like very different from like the blues stuff like Jimmy McGriff. It's these long, long sustained notes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
You know, that whole solo is a completely different style of playing. You know, which is what's great about the organ. You can play, you know, one note. You know, if you keep your finger on it, it won't die. You know, you.
It's brilliant. Have a comfort break between the set.
That's great.
That's a trick off of Dr. Lonnie Smith.
Dr. Lonnie Smith.
Is that a special gadget you've got to do that with? Or...
No, it's a secret.
I see. Right, there we go.
Lonnie Smith, do you remember? We were in the audience. Lonnie Smith was playing the Hammond, and he's quite a funny character. And he disappeared, right? So he was playing the organ, so he kept playing, he disappeared, he went down like that, so the audience couldn't see it. He got this key jammed in there, and then it came up, so it's going, ooh! Came up, everybody went, aha!
Oh,
stage cross. He's a good Hammond player, he's a right ball!
That's brilliant. Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic.
Big turban on, isn't he?
Of course, yeah, that's right. Yes, of course, that's right. Yeah, exactly. I think he might play it. There's a 60s gig that gets overlooked. I think it's called Super Show. Have you seen that? It's sort of like 1969. It's recorded in like a hangar somewhere. And you've got Buddy Guy doing Mary Had a Little Lamb with Jack Bruce on bass. Stephen Stills is there. I can't remember who's the drummer from Electric Flag. Buddy Miles. Buddy Miles. He's in it as well. Just for some reason, I don't know why. Rock and Roll Circus and Woodstock, all those things get the heat, but this one, Super Show, seems to have dropped off the radar.
Yeah.
I think there's a clip of Led Zeppelin, early clip of Led Zeppelin from it as well.
Send me a link to that.
I'll buzz you a link for that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's been fantastic. We're going to sort of, can we edit that bit out, Stephen? had a bit of like a mid-evening dementia then all of a sudden.
What are we going to do now?
Hang on, I've got a wind-up thing. I just want to recharge myself. It's like the dynamo.
Now we're all going down to the pub.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because we can.
Outside.
Yeah. That's brilliant stuff. So you're good for time though, chaps. Sorry, we haven't taken up too much of your time, have we?
No, I think we can spare it.
That's brilliant. What we'll do then, if that's okay with you, it'd be brilliant. If when the album's out, the Big Boss Man, would you fancy popping back?
Yeah.
And then play a few tunes and perhaps do a takeover and like pick some, like do the DJ and pick some tracks as well.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Like, you know, stuff in your record collection, things people should hear. So and we'll do the whole show around like the band and the album.
I'd love to.
That'd be brilliant. When are you looking at it coming out?
End of the year, hopefully.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant then. We'll tie it up then and we'll get that together then, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic stuff.
Were you in any other bands prior to Big Boy? I know you've had sort of 21 years in that. What was, how did you get to where you got to, sort of thing? What was the history?
Well, the very first band we were in was in 1988, was called The Loafers.
Oh, okay.
And that's the, we were both in that band. I was a drummer and Trev played bass, and it was a ska band. So it was a ska band, and that was like the sort of third wave of ska was coming. Mm-hmm. And we were, it was just on the cusp. Like the Astoria in London was we like headlined the ska festival there, like Bad Manners and Desmond Decker, and we were the backing band for Laurel Aitken.
Oh, right, okay.
So yeah. He was like first guy to play on Blue Note, Blue Beat Records, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And wow. he would be the singer, and we would be the band.
Right.
And we played for a couple of years with him. So that was the first band that we were, that sort of like, and we got signed, say, in that time when I was 16, it was like getting signed was, you know, there wasn't that as many. Not everybody had a record label like they do now. You know, so that was, we released three records, I think.
Yeah.
And the Loafers, that was a ska band. So that was the first thing.
Was he Boogie in My Bones?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, I know it. Yeah, yeah, it's a great track.
He was the first Jamaican to have a Jamaican number.
Oh, okay, right, right.
1959.
Yeah, yeah, he was crazy. He was a crazy old kid, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was brilliant. We know, we were sort of, you know, I was really naive and arrogant, and I liked the drumming. I was a drummer. I liked the drumming of John Bradbury specials, you know. I wanted to play like that.
Yeah,
as he wanted to play, me to play like the proper old ska reggae, play the and I used to be playing this like, two-tone style.
Yeah,
and he'd come over and go, "Not like that, man!" And he'd push me out of the way. He goes, "Get up, get up, get up!" And he'd get me off the drum kit and he'd sit on the drums and he'd go, "Right to me behind him," sort of going, and then he'd say, "Turn around," and go, "Nas, you're too rude, boy."
He's brilliant.
He was a brilliant guy.
Oh,
you know, 5 years after, it's like, my God, that was the godfather of ska that we were with then.
That's the thing, isn't it? Exactly. You look at it, you realise as these things move on, you sort of brush, you know, with these brushes with greatness on people like that, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you know, we used to go up to Northcote to Leeds and support Desmond Decker. And this is the guys. We actually played with Judge Dredd.
Never. Yes. You're kidding me. No, Big Sticks. Dredd. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'd all the, well, the greatest hits as a kid.
Tiki Taka Fire. Oh, no.
That's it.
You got your fire.
Exactly. Yeah. He used to do the nursery rhymes, didn't he? For anyone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You can't make it. Nothing rhymes with fire, just do icky tacka, ticky tacka, ticky tacka tire.
That's right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course, yeah. But he was tapping into that sort of saucy Jamaican culture.
Yeah, because yeah, those ska festivals, he was like the compere. Yeah, and he was brilliant. So, because when you ran that, you think everyone's going to be around forever, don't you?
That's right, exactly. Mm. Yeah, he came from Snodland, didn't he, in Kent, of all the places, if I remember. You never forget a name like that, Snodland. So,
yeah, going down to Gaz's Rock and Blues and like Prince Buster walk in, you know.
Oh my God.
Wow, look, it's Prince Buster, you know, his absolute hero. Because all that around that late 80s, it was all that sort of ska, mod, skinhead, soul scene. It was, you know, it was all intertwined, you know. And so that's how I sort of found out about the Hammondy stuff, really, was in that, from that scene. And then what ended up being Big Boss Man later was really due to being in and around those scenes.
That's amazing. It all came that way, sort of just moved. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, and there was a big, you know, Hammond was big in the reggae scene, like this, like Alan Hanscom used to DJ, you know, in the Penny Black in London.
Yeah.
All these like Hammond.
Like Jackie Mittu.
Hammond. Yeah, exactly. All those, they'd have all on the sevens and they'd play all these records. You know, and he's still around now, he's a great DJ now, plays lots of Latin soul, funny enough now.
Oh, okay. Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure he'll be playing it. Has he heard the album?
Yeah, he's got it. Yeah, we've been chatting about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so great. You're in that melting pot of music.
It
cements itself, and then two years later than that, started dabbling around with, you know, with the Hammond. I can't remember exactly how, I think it was like your, this is his 21st birthday party we did. First big boss man gig, wasn't it? The Dolphin, was that that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
We did another one called Scooby, didn't we?
Oh yeah, that was our other bands. It was pre-internet, luckily. There's no
yeah.
The first foray into anything vaguely funky, I suppose, was a band called Scooby.
That's a great name as well. Was that originals or covers?
It was originals. I mean, the best thing we did was, remember, there was a really terrible channel called Men and Motors.
I remember it. Yeah, this one, the Sky, or yeah.
Like the most
Granada Men and Motors, that's what it was.
Yeah. And basically, like, it was the most low budget thing. There was no money, and they said, "Oh, do you want to be on this? You want to be the house band in this TV show?" It's like, "Oh yeah, great." And they said, "Oh well, it's like £150 you get for two. You've got to do two shows. Come up to Granada for the day." So we drive up to Manchester at like 5 a.m. Record two shows during the day and it'd get 150 quid. Of course, the fuel was 130 quid.
Yeah, of course.
One of the good things is we had people from Coronation Street, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. It's like down at the bar.
Yeah, you go into the social club after and it'd be like white bulb and stuff.
Never. Yeah, oh.
There's Curly. I'm the fine.
Brilliant. Your stuff's popped up on the other TVs, and where have you seen, when you get, when the PRS and the stuff come in, do you ever see it pop up? Well, strange places being played or TV shows it's popped up in?
It's all over the world. You kind of see.
Everywhere.
You
look at the Rolling Stones. It's like, okay, this, well, now it's a bit like, oh, 5p, someone played it in Israel. And all these countries that you'd never think would be into the music. Oh, someone, in Chile or and it's strange enough, I've just been working with this musician in I met this via some like a session musicians app, and I met this guy on there from Venezuela.
Yeah.
And it turns out, and he's like, you know, they're a pretty poor country, and it turns out, and he was sort of talking, and he found out, he said, oh, he literally looked me up and he said, oh my God, you were in the Loafers, I remember them. And he said, my friends, we all like that early ska scene stuff. And he's like, it's incredible, you know.
That's crazy.
Around the world. I mean, this is like, again, pre-internet. But
yeah.
I found out because of the internet that he's got mates who are into the band we're in then, and I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing. Incredible. Do you, what was it? Hang on. I've got the dementia, I was going to say something. It's gone again. I'll just get a large wooden mallet and knock myself on the head with it when it comes out. Do that. Yeah, that's it. Is there a certain country that you go down really well at, or that have got you got a mad following?
If there's one that's been the best for us over the years is Spain.
Oh, is it? Right, okay.
Yeah.
We've done about 8 tours of Spain. Been on the sort of Spanish TV.
Eight tours.
And
mainstream Spanish telly.
Yeah.
And they love it as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that was when it was at the height of it, we would be on a Wednesday night in Madrid, 500 people in a club, just to see the band. Mm. I mean, you'd hard push to do that on a Saturday in this country, you know. But it was much bigger there, wasn't it?
Were they doing the sort of ole ole sort of chants and all the t-shirts above the head?
Oh yeah, all that.
Brilliant. Oh, that's going to be red hot again. And again, informing the Latin vibe of the album as well. Oh, that's fantastic, chaps. It's been an absolute treat. It's been top stuff.
Brilliant, man. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to have you on board. Been a real treat. Literally, we could rattle on all night. Apart from me, who'd come to the occasional stumble and stop. But that's been fantastic. So we'll hook up again when the album's out. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
New tunes or favourite tracks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Oh, chaps, you're absolutely stars. That is fantastic stuff. Should we play it with one more?
Yeah, I've got time for one more.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Play out with Manhattan Cornbread.
Brilliant. Manhattan Cornbread. And we will be back on the other side of this. Huge salutes to Trev and Naz from Bongo Luna Big Boss, man. It's been a pleasure and a privilege, and we'll see you later in the year. Thanks, chaps.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good
brilliant.
Stuff.
That's thank top stuff. Know. That is brilliant. Excellent stuff. I'll buy you that link, Naz. Thanks for that. And also, have you ever checked out, do you know Henry Kane at all?
No, I don't.
Hammond player. There's a bloke round here we mentioned quite a bit on Podro. Called harmonica player Steve Weston.
Okay, no, send us any.
Do you know Steve at all? Steve played on the Wilco and the Roger Daltrey album. He was a harmonica player on that, and he plays a band called the Blue Sonics. So, but he started out as a keyboard player. He was a big Booker T fan, came into music through Hammond and Booker T, and then he went into harmonica, and he wanted to play the harmonica like he played the Hammond.
Yeah, there's a link really to it, you know. It does, you know, there's certain things you can do which are, you know, a similar idea, you know.
Yeah, that was his way in.
It's through an organ. It's a mouth organ.
Well, exactly. That's it. And he plays it like, I'll buzz you a clip to Steve as well, because he's well seen.
Yeah.
But he said to me, I used to do a DJ at the Railway around the Sunday gigs. He used to try and play stuff that would warm the room up. He said, "Have you got Henry Kane?" And I dug it out. It's a track called Horoscope by Henry Kane. I think he only made one album.
When is he from, Henry Kane?
Oh, it's sort of late 60s, 67, 68, that sort of time. But it's a really good album. I don't think it's massively expensive to get, but it's well worth checking out. But I'll put that on the list of links.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant, man.
As well. Thanks, chaps. That's fantastic. Really appreciate that.
Guys, well, hopefully see you for a pint in the flesh.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Hook up with some gigs. That'd be fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Nice to see you guys.
And you. Cheers, cheers, chaps.
Take care.
Thanks cheers. For that. See you then. Really appreciate that.
And now it's time for Railway Roundup with Fee Jacobs.
I got a girl who's Good. She got a good friend.
Blimey, what a belter. Do you know, I can actually smell the Pizza Hut, the pizza kitchen. I can smell the cooking coming from the kitchen, the pizza bit, the waft of the toilets that was there simmering away somewhere in there, and the smell of splashed Ghost Ship and Brewer's Gold. All of those things. It's that combo. It's taken me right back to those noisy, sort of sweaty, smelly nights at the railway that were so magical.
That was a nice one to drop in after you'd done some, you know, because I know you guys did similar, but in terms of, they often do a big old sort of, if you fancy kind of a chunky northern set, do you know what I mean? Not
Yeah.
And so you get people dancing and then put that on at the end. It's like, can you keep up with that one?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. And you'd always get a couple of loons that would, you know, would bounce on the spot sometimes. There was a great character. I mean, there was some great character. Do you ever, what was his name? I can't remember. The bloke who's with the Fred Flintstone outfits.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Was it Michael?
He was a thoroughly good
actor. Mike Barrett.
Mike Barrett, that's him. Yeah, he was a very vigorous dancer, partly to offset his arthritis. What it was about.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it was about.
You don't see him around anymore, do you?
No, I don't think you do.
Did he move away or...?
Perhaps he just toned down his outfits. I mean, I think also he was going toe-to-toe with the bloke who'd walk in with a snake around his neck sometimes as well. And a live snake, not a rubber comedy one. But I remember doing a Sunday session there and playing like Alan Toussaint or Lowell Fawson, all those sort of Sunday regular sort of tracks I play. And there's a bloke at the bar with a live python around his neck ordering a pint.
So, brilliant.
Yeah, and then you get the woman who'd come in with a dog in a little weedy shopper basket, asking the band to turn it down because it was bothering her dog. So, let's not take a little dog to a gig. So, very strange.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was amazing. So many great characters there. Brilliant stuff. So,
amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I had... go on, Polly, go on.
That old Mike Barrett guy, he used to... this isn't a joke. He always used to carry a banana in his pocket. I remember him throwing it at Dave Woodcock a couple of times on a Monday on the old open mic night. Whip his banana out and lob it at him.
Wasn't for his arthritis, was it?
Possibly, yeah. What's that?
Was it always the same banana?
I'd imagine he refreshed it. Yeah.
He didn't have a boomerang technique. We threw it out and it came back to him again. It's always the same one.
It might have been the old top cap chick technique. You might have been on a bit of string.
String, that's brilliant. That's amazing. So, what was your track pile of the Kinks?
Kinks, yeah. No, it's a Saturday night.
It's got to be a Saturday night one, isn't it? What did I have?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? You can listen to it and listen to songs and go, yeah, oh, I bet that's a Sunday afternoon. I bet that's a Friday night.
My one, Shirley Scott, Get Back. That was a Saturday night one, but I only played it. It's one of those ones that's probably a little bit too fast sometimes. So I only played that. I think I played that once, and I played it at our first Podrafinha night. when we did Empire Three. I remember DJing behind the bar when you used to do that before it was the pulpit that was. And you'd always get people coming up, frothing at the mouth. Can I have a pint of this? Can I have a pint of that? Sorry, I don't do drinks. I always get a T-shirt with, sorry, I don't do drinks, printed on it. Sounds like that.
I remember one of your favourites was that Hit the Road Jack, that version of Hit the Road Jack.
Well, it's funny you say that. I am going to play that. Yeah, that was one of those universal.
Are you really? That's a classic. That is, the other classic was the old Third Degree Mercy.
Oh, Mercy. You can't go wrong with that. That's right. You can't go wrong with that. That's
a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That is
a bit like the Mo Horizons track. Hit the Road Jack. Yeah, it's one of those ones you can just it's one of those ones. It just gets everyone going.
Suits any occasion.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry. What were you going to say, Stephen?
I was just going to say I'd never heard that Shirley Scott track before. You know, you played the version of Get Back. You know, you said it was a bit fast. I thought it was fabulous.
It is fabulous.
I love that. That drop in the middle, and you know it's going to be back in with something there—that big old note on top. That was fantastic.
It's great, and the whole album is brilliant. The whole she does. There's a track called "More Today Than Yesterday," which is a sort of very '60s sunshine pop track. They do a really swinging version. Mark came around. Mark from Boxes Lights. Do check out his show. Went out 2 days before. He popped around one night and I played him, and he goes, "Oh my god!" And he was off on a bit of a "More Today Than Yesterday" buzz after the back of that. It's a great track, but. It's again, we talked about the liberties you could play and things you do. There's a track, I won't play it, but do we haven't got time for it, but do look it up. It's Champion Jack Dupree Woodpecker. It's one of those nights where it went down so well. There was such a mix up of people there. I just played it three times, it just went back to again, played it again, back to again, played it again. And everyone was up for it. I thought it was really good. I think it was just slightly pitched up to be a little bit faster. Dave Woodcock went to play along. But it was all out of time with it, so out of tune with it, because it's faster. So fantastic. I must say, huge salutes to Trev and Naz from the Bongolian. Ah, what a treat. What an absolute treat there. You know, that was...
I think you managed to reel them in for another one as well there.
Yeah, exactly. That I'm going to put that in the gig diary, get those in for again. You know,
it's on record as well. They can't back out.
We didn't edit that bit out. So... That was a magic night, that the blah up at the railway.
Who else on that lineup?
It was you had Alpha 9 and Dave Woodcock.
Was there another band, another South End band? Were they on as well?
And there might have been another band right at the beginning. Oh, hang on, not Usselman.
Yeah.
Yep, Usselman.
Yeah, I think they were on as well.
That's right, they were, because they were
four bands.
Four bands. Yeah.
£5 or £6, wasn't it?
Normally, if you're in the pulpit or you're DJing, you get people come up hassling. You play this, can you play that? Can you play the other? I was the hassler that night. I kept hassling Paul to play "LA Woman" by the Doors.
Did he play it?
No. Well, you'd hardly ever do hassling. You do.
I know this crowd.
Exactly. Get to the back of the line. That's what you do.
All right. I'm going to go. I think I go back in time again. I think this is a Sunday or an early. Early Friday nighter. I'll go for 1950s and where are we? Just a Gigolo. Louis Prima.
And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling his romance. Oh, the sin. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. And just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they say. And there will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me, 'cause I ain't got nobody. Oh, and there's nobody cares for me. There's nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely. Sad and lonely, sad and lonely. Want some sweet mama. Come take a chance with me, cause I ain't so bad then. And I'll sing her three love songs all of the time. She will only be, only be. Baldi bozi bat, blibop.
I ain't got nobody.
Oh, and there's nobody to kiss for me. There's nobody to kiss for me. Nobody to kiss for me.
Não diz nada, vou botar os pés no chão e seguir na estrada. Não pense que o destino é assim tão cruel. Na vida cada um representa seu papel. Não perca seu tempo nessa confusão. Eu vou fazer as minhas malas e seguir com decisão. Já tô com o pé na estrada e não vou mais voltar. Não vou, não vou, não vou. Já tô com o pé na estrada, não vou mais voltar. Já tô com o pé na estrada. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. That was Mo Horizons Hit the Road, Jack. That was a regular. I used to play that so much, that one.
I'll say that. I bet that's a weekend ticker, isn't it? Yeah, is that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
3-dayer, weekend of that one. Yeah, definitely.
Get your money's worth. Get your money's worth out of that one.
It's one of those ones. It's a bit like Tom Jones, The Lonely One. It's one of those ones that you know. It's like catnip to dancers. just going mad for it. I remember playing it a couple of times. And saying to someone once, watch this, putting it on, it going mad. I played it one night. I had a literally bloke dance on the tables. A girl came over, she goes, I'm Brazilian. She says, my family are from Brazil. She goes, I've never heard this, can't believe it. One of the best nights. It's a bit like your night party you said about earlier, when everyone comes onto the floor. I was DJing for the Basie Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And I put that on before they went on. And as they're sitting there, they suddenly start jamming along to it. And Dennis went out for a gasper. And as he walked out for his gasper, I was playing it on the record. The basses jumped on and started jamming along. And I faded it out. And they took over. And they started their set.
Great.
And Dennis walked out, came back in. So it had been the my version. When he came back in, the basses we did live. He looked at me and goes, what happened? how did this go? And then the times after that, I DJed for the basses. They said, can you start with that? And we'll just come in halfway through. And that used to be their sort of thing. It was like an opening walk-on music that you actually picked up and played to. So
Only at the railway.
Only at the railway, exactly. So go on. What did you have? You had Louis Prima?
Yeah. It's a great track, that. Like you say, it's... there's a few of his in the box, you know. It's Enjoy Yourself and the old King of the Swingers.
Yeah,
there's some good tracks by him. They go down well.
The Bigger the Figure is the one I'm on at the moment. That's a great track. Yeah, it's a bit like Chuck Berry. It's one of those things you tend to tick off the greatest hits, but there's so much more when you.
You're right. Once you start digging down,
that's right.
Amazing how much is there. Yeah,
gold to be found.
Good stuff. I guess we're probably pretty much done, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, must be close for time. Stephen's got the old Podrophonic clock running. How are we doing there?
We've got time to squeeze in one last
thing. One more. Oh, okay. Should we give out a shout? So do forget to, obviously, huge salutes to the all at Bongolian HQ and Blow Up for setting this up for us tonight. Do check out the other shows on Ship Full of Bombs. There's a Patreon account as well, isn't there, Stephen?
There is indeed. Yes, indeed. If you just go to the Ship Full of Bombs main site, www.sfob.co.uk, there is a Patreon link there, which takes you directly to where if you wanted to chip in a dollar or two, you'd be graciously received.
Exactly. Anything in the tip jar will be, like you say, we'll tip of the hat for that. So we're there we go. It's the old last orders. The bell's been rung.
Quite literally.
Exactly. The old... the two security staff who probably the easiest gig in Southend, sort of shooing people out the door, close one door as you would do, and shoo everyone out the other door at the other end. And people are coming to collect their coats from the DJ stand.
That's it.
that time of the night. So there we go. But it was, it's fantastic times. I think we all know salute and hat tip the railway, didn't we?
All the best to Dave and Fee and whatever. I think they've already got another thing at pipe, iron in the fire, haven't they? A little if doing an event, the next event down at
Lamb and Lion. So do check out their site that they've set up. They've got Laugh Lights going on there. Yeah, exactly.
One of you just say the name of the track and I'll play it.
okay, I won't say it. We'll leave it. We'll tease it. We'll just leave it there.
It's good to be wise when you're young, 'cause you can only be young but for once. Enjoy yourself and have lots of fun. Serve God and live, my friend, and it will never done. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy.
Oh, flipping heck. It's only Piley and Mondo's Podrophenia.
It was a surprise hit. Trust me. It surprised me as much as anyone else.